Je déclare ouverte la 49e séance plénière de l'Assemblée générale. L'Assemblée va poursuivre l'examen au cours d'un débat commun du point 29 de l'ordre du jour, rapport du Conseil sécurité, et du point 123 de l'ordre du jour, question de la représentation équitable au Conseil sécurité et de l'augmentation du nombre de ses membres et questions connexes. Le premier orateur sur ma liste est le distingué représentant de l'ADVIA à qui je donne la parole.
Mr. Vice President, I would like to thank the President of the General Assembly for his initiative which aims to regain momentum on the United Nations Security Council reform. We welcome his decision to establish the advisory group on the reform of the Security Council, and we express the hope that this body will provide useful guidance on the way forward. We hope that his personal leadership will bring the reform process forward. And I would like also to thank the Ambassador Zahir Tanin as the Chair of Intergovernmental Negotiations and express our readiness to cooperate with him on the continuation of his duties. The world today is different from the world of the time of establishment of the United Nations. The number of the United Nations members has multiplied. The number of conflicts where the UN should be involved remains big. The world has become more interconnected and interdependent, and we are increasingly facing global challenges that affect all countries and their citizens. The United Nations is a unique platform to exchange information, advance our common agenda, and provide coordinated response to the global challenges. But the UN must live up to the demands of the 21st century. In many areas, it has shown the capacity to develop along with the requirements and realities of this new age. Yet, the Security Council, which has the primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security, has changed little in the past decades. Therefore, reform of the Security Council is of crucial importance. Unfortunately, the discussion on the Security Council reform has continued on and off for nearly 20 years without producing tangible results. At the 2005 World Summit, our leaders called for an early reform of the Security Council in order to make it more broadly representative, efficient and transparent, thus enhancing its effectiveness and legitimacy of its decisions. The time has come to put forward concrete proposals and to generate momentum and to start real negotiations leading to achievement of those goals. Mr. President, Latvia would like to reiterate our position that the enlargement of the Security Council membership in both categories, permanent and non-permanent, is necessary to ensure the representativeness of the Council and equitable geographical distribution of both permanent and non-permanent seats, reflecting current political realities. In view of the considerable enlargement of the membership of the group of Eastern European states during the last decades, we strongly believe that any enlargement of the Security Council should include one new non-permanent seat for the Eastern European group. However, we feel that in order to advance the reform, we should go beyond merely reiterating our positions. The work of the advisory group on the reform of the Security Council should feed into more detailed debate and to the stage of negotiations. At that stage, it would be necessary to look for the parameters of the possible agreement. For instance, what would be the numerical maximum of Security Council membership that would be acceptable for those countries that favour limited expansion of membership? What would be the numerical minimum of expansion that would be acceptable to those countries that favour bigger expansion? It is essential to achieve an agreement on elements of the reform enjoying the widest possible support by member states. From our side, we are ready to contribute constructively to this work. Thank you, Mr. President.
Remercie le distingué représentant de la Lettonie pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant du Guatemala.
señor presidente. Gracias por convocar este debate. Cubriré muy brevemente ambos de los puntos de nuestra agenda, o sea, el informe del Consejo de Seguridad contenido en el documento A68-2 y la cuestión de la representación equitativa en el Consejo de Seguridad y del aumento del número de sus miembros y cuestiones conexas. En cuanto al informe del Consejo de Seguridad relativo al periodo agosto 2012 a julio de 2013, tomamos nota del mismo y agradecemos al embajador de China por su presentación. No creemos que sea apropiado emitir mayores comentarios sobre el particular, ya que, como se sabe, somos miembros del Consejo de Seguridad durante este periodo e incluso ejercimos la presidencia del mismo en octubre del 2012. Me limito a indicar lo que hemos señalado todos los años en cuanto a nuestro deseo de que dicho informe contenga una mayor dosis analítica en relación a su contenido factual. En relación a la cuestión de la representación equitativa en el Consejo de Seguridad y del aumento del número de sus miembros, diría en primer lugar que hemos tomado nota de la carta del 22 de octubre pasado circulada por usted, señor presidente, a los Estados miembros, en la cual informa sobre su decisión de renovar la designación del embajador Zahir Tanin para que presida el proceso de negociación y a la que alude la resolución 67/561. Y que además ha decidido conformar un grupo asesor integrado por 6 representantes permanentes. Cabe subrayar que el producto de nuestra negociación corresponde exclusivamente a los Estados miembros de esta Asamblea General. Confiamos que después de tantos años de encontrarse en un virtual punto muerto, la ansiada reforma del Consejo de Seguridad, podremos darle un renovado impulso a una negociación que conduzca a la adecuación de ese órgano, establecido para mantener la paz y la seguridad internacionales. En el periodo posterior a la Segunda Guerra Mundial de mediados del siglo XX, a las circunstancias del presente siglo XXI. Todos entendemos la naturaleza y profundidad de los temas que nos dividen, los que ciertamente gravitan en torno a la línea divisoria entre aquellos que abogan por la ampliación del Consejo en ambas de sus categorías y aquellos que abogan por limitar la ampliación a solo la categoría de miembros electos. A esa polémica se agregan, desde luego, diferencias de punto de vista sobre el número de nuevos miembros que se proponen, su distribución entre los distintos grupos regionales y sus derechos y obligaciones, incluyendo de manera destacada si la disposición que otorga el derecho de veto a los 5 miembros permanentes actuales habrá de extenderse a los eventuales nuevos miembros permanentes. Sobre el particular, quisiéramos reiterar nuestra posición en el sentido que apoyamos una expansión en el número de miembros en ambas categorías. Pensamos que esa expansión puede ser de hasta 5 miembros permanentes y 5 miembros electos adicionales, con lo que se llegaría a un consejo de 10 miembros permanentes y 15 miembros electos. No insistiríamos en que los nuevos miembros permanentes tengan todas las prerrogativas de los miembros permanentes actuales, aunque tampoco nos opondríamos. Al mismo tiempo, no insistiríamos que los 5 miembros permanentes actuales renuncien a sus prerrogativas contempladas en la Carta. Dicho lo anterior, veríamos la expansión del Consejo como un proceso, sujeto a nuevos ajustes y adaptaciones en un periodo prudencial, con miras a poder seguir introduciendo cambios a la gobernabilidad del sistema de las Naciones Unidas. En ese mismo contexto, pensamos que convendría reexaminar el mandato acotado que la Carta confiere al Consejo, con miras a ampliar su alcance. Entendemos que esa idea pudiera parecer herejía a muchos, ya que se invoca el papel central del Consejo de mantener la paz y seguridad internacionales para evitar que incursione en los mandatos de los órganos principales. Pero el problema que percibimos es que la línea divisoria entre el mantenimiento de la paz y la consolidación de la paz no es nítida. ¿Cabría entonces redefinir los papeles del Consejo de Seguridad, la Comisión de Consolidación de la Paz, el Consejo Económico y Social y la Asamblea General sobre cómo se distribuyen las tareas de promover el desarrollo de aquellos países que emergen de situaciones de conflicto? Ello en el marco de la proposición general que el desarrollo sostenible es el mejor antídoto para evitar conflictos. En ese mismo orden de ideas, deberíamos estar pensando en mayor coherencia entre la labor de un Consejo de Seguridad reformado y el foro reformado que en el futuro se haga cargo de la labor de coordinación que hoy por hoy ejerce el G20 en el ámbito económico y financiero. En todo caso, pensamos que la reforma del sistema de gobernabilidad de las Naciones Unidas no puede demorar más y que abordar la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad es el punto medular para iniciar esa tarea. Muchas gracias.
Je remercie la représentante de Guatemala pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de la Bulgarie.
Mr. Vice President, allow me to begin by joining those who have already thanked the presidency of the President of the General Assembly for convening this meeting. My delegation would like to express its appreciation to the Chinese presidency of the Security Council for presenting the annual report of the Security Council to the General Assembly and to the United States mission of the UN for preparing the introduction of the draft report. We understand the difficulties associated with the preparation of a concise report that goes beyond enumerating the Council's activities and recognize the Council's continuing efforts to draft an annual report that fulfill the expectations of the Member States. Mr. Vice President, Bulgaria appreciates the efforts of the President of the General Assembly to reinvigorate the process of the Security Council reform. In this regard, we believe the appointment of the advisory group could generate renewed impetus in furtherance of the agreed goal to achieve a comprehensive reform of the Council. Taking into the consideration the declared purpose of the advisory group to produce a basis for the start of the intergovernmental negotiations, we do believe that it will reflect ideas put forward in the negotiations so far, including those of particular interest for the countries from the East European Regional Group. We support the continuation of the intergovernmental negotiations on the Security Council reform aimed at achieving a more broadly representative, efficient, legitimate, and transparent Council in line with the 2005 World Summit outcome document. We share the view that the Security Council reform is long overdue and keeping the status quo should not be an option. It's our deep belief that the reforms should be aimed at turning the Security Council into a more representative and more effective body. The composition, size, and working methods of the Council need to reflect the today's realities in order to be perceived as relevant. Bulgaria has already declared its support for the involvement of the Security Council in its two categories. Our position takes into account the abilities and the willingness of certain countries to contribute to the maintenance of international peace and security. At the same time, Bulgaria believes that further expansion of the Security Council should involve an adequate and proportional representation of the current regional groups. Bulgaria continues to uphold its position as to the need of allocating at least one additional non-permanent seat in the enlarged Council to the Eastern European Regional Group, given the fact that in the course of the last two decades, the size has more than doubled. It's our conviction that the enlarged membership of the Council should contribute toward its greater representativeness, while the improvement of the working methods has to bring about the needed efficiency and transparency. Mr. Vice President, in conclusion, we welcome your letter, the letter of the PGA, of October 22nd, announcing the reappointment of Ambassador Tanin as chair of the intergovernmental negotiations. We would like, once again, to pledge our support to his efforts to guide the reform process. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Je remercie le représentant de la Bulgarie pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de Monténégro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the outset, allow me to thank China for presenting, as well as the United States for preparing the Security Council annual report. However, I will limit my intervention to the agenda item 123, question of equitable representation on and increase in the membership of the Security Council and other related matters. I would like to thank President of General Assembly for earlier engagement and efforts to advance the Security Council reform process during the 68th session of the United Nations General Assembly. I also like to congratulate the permanent representative of Afghanistan, Ambassador Tanin, on his reappointment as chair of the intergovernmental negotiations. Mr. Chair, Security Council reform is an ongoing process which should neither be limited in time nor unnecessarily delayed. But yet, time and again, after too many years and extensive deliberations within different formats, we find ourselves again in the familiar territory. It is very useful and practical to all of us that we got a detailed understanding of each of the five proposals tabled. I would say that there are really no more unknowns to any one of proposals, and that, on the contrary, we have come to learn and be very familiar even with the smallest particularities. For such complex process, the Security Council reform presents, that is very important. But we have to be cognizant that there comes a point in time where one has to ask if further deliberations in this space would make any sense. Because even though we call our process intergovernmental negotiations, we are yet not engaged in real substantive negotiations. What we had so far was repeating the same, if not slightly modified rhetoric, that has led us to this point when we have to state we have hardly moved in substantial terms from the starting position. It is against this backdrop and in the context of establishing the advisory group that Montenegro welcomes and supports all proposals and initiatives that are action-oriented and with an aim to kickstart genuine negotiations. What is needed in this regard is to have an inclusive, transparent, and balanced approach, one that will take on board interests and aspirations of a general membership to the extent possible, not only of the main groups, because large number of countries like mine do not belong or associated with any group, in order to create the atmosphere and conditions conducive for start of long-awaited and much-appreciated real negotiations. Moreover, we have to be careful as to follow the established frameworks and mandates that have been clearly defined. Only in this way can we expect to take positive steps and count on fruitful collaboration and engagement needed to move forward instead of creating further divisions and separations which already in their core present a heavy burden for the process. It is obvious and of urgent importance for the relevance of the Security Council that we do not continue with business as usual. It is for us Member States, together with Ambassador Tanin, to find a new, fresh approach in order to engage in a more constructive and results-oriented way that will bring us closer to the desired reform, one with the broadest possible acceptance with respect to all five aspects of the reform. In this context, striving to develop a common base for the possible compromise solution and common denominator that will be further built upon could prove helpful. Such building block in this direction could be the African common position and historical injustice done to this continent. In this context, and in line with our own interest and our principal position and support, Montenegro reiterates the necessity to increase the representation of the Eastern European Group in the non-permanent members category of the enlarged Security Council to reflect the new realities that is more than two-fold expansion of the group's membership. Mr. Chair, we constantly have to remind ourselves that negotiating is a process of give and take, and we all need to demonstrate a high degree of flexibility and pragmatism in order to create an atmosphere of trust and good faith that will allow us to take concrete steps towards accomplishing our end goal. Keeping the big picture of overall reform in sight, We cannot just focus individually or as groups on self-interests and aspirations, but have to take into account those of others as well if we truly want to make a breakthrough. And in keeping with our position, it is of utmost importance to be realistic and cognizant of the fact that some of the existing proposals, if not individually, then as a part of the bigger incorporated package, are definitely not feasible and could indeed turn out to be counterproductive to the work of Security Council. We should be under no illusion. Getting to a package solution on Security Council reform would be extremely difficult and rather challenging task. I believe that every single member state has a stake and wants to see the Security Council reformed in a way that will allow it to be more transparent and representative and better suited to cope with global security challenges that are not lacking in today's world. So let's leave behind old practices and methods which have proven to be insufficient and ineffective. We cannot gain by exploiting each other's weaknesses, but instead have to be innovative and explore and unite our strengths and advantages, because reform and improve Security Council above all is our common goal and necessity. It is in this spirit that Montenegro reconfirms strong political will and decisive readiness to contribute towards the start of genuine negotiations and concrete action in that direction. I thank you.
Je remercie le représentant de Monténégro pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de la Géorgie.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. While we all agree on the need of reform, the years that have passed since 2005 have shown the difficulty in achieving convergence of member states' positions to overcome the structural shortcomings of the Security Council vis-à-vis the emerging global threats and challenges. Lengthy discussions of Security Council reform urgently need to materialize in action. A more speedy arrival at a reform package is absolutely necessary, whereas more delay will continue to put the Council at further risk of becoming either inadequate or way too late in responding to the existing or emerging global challenges and threats to peace. Georgia is of the opinion that only through reflecting the current geopolitical realities can the Security Council enhance its political legitimacy and authority. Therefore, we support the aspiration of G4 countries as well as the inclusion of the developing countries to be represented in both the permanent and non-permanent categories of the reformed Security Council. We also encourage the inclusion of smaller states in the decision-making. We believe that the basic principle of international law of sovereign equality between nations should be more explicitly reflected at the core of the international security architecture. This will indeed be a gateway to more democratic global governance. However, equitable representation shouldn't be the end itself. A meaningful reform should also imply reform in the working methods and decision-making principles of the Security Council. Georgia is among the countries that was directly and painfully affected by the reality when all efforts of some Security Council members to find a constructive solution through the Council fell by the wayside in face of the structural deficiency, allowing a party to the conflict to preclude all meaningful measures to be taken by the Council. These deficiencies allowed for a paradoxical scenario in which, instead of an increased security presence in the aftermath of a full-fledged war, the mandate of then-existing United Nations Observer Mission to Georgia was terminated, creating a vacuum of international security presence. This is our view. This, in our view, raises some serious questions as to the appropriateness of using the right to veto in relation to the mandate of the peacekeeping missions. Mr. Chairman, esteemed colleagues, in closing, let me express our firm support to the President of the General Assembly in his undertaking to invigorate the work on the reform of the Security Council as the most important element of the United Nations reform. To this end, we would also like to commend the work of the Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations, Ambassador Tanin. Georgia, on its part, stands ready to contribute to the process. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Je vous remercie pour votre déclaration et je donne la parole maintenant au représentant de la Slovaquie. Allô?
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur le Président. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I wish you a very nice Friday afternoon, and I hope that you are still not exhausted by the discussions what we now are having over these 2 days. Allow me to start by appreciating the dedication and commitment of the President of the General Assembly, His Excellency Ambassador John Ash, for advancing the issue of the security sector reform. I would like to congratulate Ambassador Zahir Tanin for his reappointment of the Chair of the Intergovernmental Negotiations. And I think it's also a proper time and place to appreciate the work and report of the current President of Security Council and to thank His Excellency Ambassador Liu Jiei for his statement. Undoubtedly, the work and responsibilities of the United Nations Security Council are enormous, and apparently the workload and demands are increasing. We all have no doubts that both permanent and non-permanent members dedicate maximum efforts, manpower and brain power to address the challenges with all complexity they deserve. The United Nations is a unique organization. The real value is in its universality and inclusivity of all nations. In 2 years, we shall celebrate the 70th anniversary of its creation. 3 generations of politicians, diplomats, were contributing to create a better world, more stable, secure, democratic, and sustainable. And the world has changed. Some issues were solved, some still persist, and new appeared. To address these new challenges, the United Nations has to look into the mirror of the 21st century. And we have to study the reflections from different angles, points, distance. We have to look at the mirror in twilight and midnight. Syria should serve as a broken mirror of distorted and destructive picture of reality. 2 years of Security Council inability to take a meaningful decision are alarming proof of the urgent need to overcome our differences, set aside our disagreements, and look for the innovative and creative decisions. There is no quick fix. But after 20 years of deliberations, the time is high to take the responsibility of our citizens entrusted us with. It's time to craft concrete, meaningful proposals and later deliver results. Slovakia is fully committed to working with all partners to continue negotiations on issues of modernizing the work, working methods, composition, communications, and effectivity of Security Council. We shall work and deliberate in good faith, with mutual respect, in an open, inclusive, and transparent manner. We are obliged to seek a solution that can garner the widest possible consensus. For the sake of speeding up the discussions, let me just briefly recap the already well-known position of Slovakia. I will just mention a few key issues and then make some suggestions for way forward. First, we believe in the necessity of adapting the Council to the geopolitical realities of the 21st century. States capable of assuming global responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security should become eligible for filling the posts of new permanent members of the Security Council. But membership is not about the privilege. It is much more about responsibility, commitments, and obligations possible members are willing and ready to assume. If we would like to make a step forward, we should not concentrate only on numbers. We should listen to substantial discussions of contenders, how they see their work and role in future council. Getting in how they would improve the work they probably criticize when being out. Second, equitable geographical distribution of posts within the non-permanent category of the Security Council must be reflected and should embrace all regional groups in equal and proportional manner, including the group of Eastern European states. Third, the ideal goal is to get better representation as well as higher efficiency. Thus, the enlargement must not compromise the ability of the Security Council to function as defined in the Charter. We need a Security Council that is effective and does not shy away from taking difficult decisions, a council that ensures prompt and effective action when needed. We believe that in order to ensure that, the enlargement of council should be moderate and balanced. Fourth, Slovakia does not favor extending the right of the veto to new permanent members. At the same time, a due consideration should be given to the scope and the manner that the veto is being applied. Let me just recall the proposals made in the run-up to the 2005 summit outcome document in the high-level panel on threats, challenges, and change. Mr. Chairman, having said this, it's now time to move away from simple repetitions of our positions and start concrete negotiations on the basis of those proposals that have so far garnered divided support. We feel that G4 and L69 proposals enjoy such status. But the only vehicle that may bring us to success is called compromise. Let us look again to some temporary interim solutions like semi-permanent membership with the definition of criteria and rules, or let us give appropriate attention to new initiatives as the code of conduct for the voluntary limitation of the use of veto. Maybe some other areas and ideas are on the way. To see forest, we should take a step or two from the tree. Mr. Chairman, for the sake of the urgency and meaningful an agreement in light of the above mentioned, our position is not carved in stone. Let me assure you and all the partners that Slovakia is open to all constructive proposals and considers them with maximum degree of flexibility and open-mindedness with the main aim to reach tangible results that will finally allow us to adapt the Security Council to the realities and needs of the 21st century. I thank you very much for your attention.
Je remercie le représentant de la Slovaquie pour sa déclaration. Et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de la République démocratique populaire, Lao.
Mr. President, at the outset, my delegation would like to associate itself with a statement made by the representative of Arab Republic of Egypt on behalf of the non-aligned movement. Please allow me to express my appreciation to His Excellency Ambassador John Ash, President of the General Assembly, for convening this meeting. I would also like to thank His Excellency Ambassador Li Jiuyi, Permanent Representative of the People's Republic of China, for presenting the annual report of the Security Council on behalf of the UN Security Council. At the same time, may I sincerely congratulate His Excellency Ambassador Tanin on his reappointment as the Chair of the International Governmental Declaration on UNSC Reform. Mr. President, since the inception of the United Nations, the functions and duties of the United Nations have been developed and expanded in the large scale. Therefore, it is necessary that the United Nations, including the Security Council, have to be adjusted or reformed in order to reliable and appropriate with the real demand of the state of the development in the international affair of the world. The outcome of the World Summit held in 2005 indicated that in the new era, it is necessary to reform the Security Council for the benefit of the member states as a whole. Since then, many heads of state and the government have continued to express their views at the general debate of the General Assembly to confirm the need in reforming the Security Council. Furthermore, The General Assembly has also conducted the reform of the Security Council through the internal negotiation process, even though there still has been different views on the reform over the past year. The process reform is still going on, and it is confident that through the negotiation, the agreement will be reached in the year to come. The Lao People's Democratic Republic is of the view that in order to make the United Nations Security Council more representative, democratic, effective, transparent, accessible, and legitimate, the Security Council needs to be reformed in the appropriate manner. However, the reform should be conducted on the basis of the proposal submitted by the member states and by the intergovernmental negotiation process, which will bring the mutual benefit for all member states. The Lao PDR always supports the reform of the Security Council process and also endorses the proposal by the PGA to further conduct the intergovernmental negotiation on the reform of the Security Council during the 68th session, including the establishment of the advisory group. However, we understand that the advisory group does not have a negotiation role. Therefore, it aims to only to give the personal advice in conducting the intergovernmental negotiation. Mr. President, in conclusion, my delegation would like to assure you that the Lao PDR will continue to support you on the UN Security Council reform, and we iterated that reform should be conducted in the process of the intergovernmental negotiation, which will sum up the appropriate proposals and ideas of the all international community for the Council reform. My delegation is confident that with your wisdom and experiences, the Security Council reform will reach an agreement by all party concerned and successfully achieve in the year to come. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Je remercie le représentant de la République démocratique populaire Lao pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant du Suriname.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, I would like to align myself with the statements delivered by the Permanent Representative of Guyana on behalf of the CARICOM, the Permanent Representative of Egypt on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement, and the Permanent Representative of St. Kitts and Nevis on behalf of the L69 Group. It's Suriname, together with the majority of the UN membership, supports early reform of the Security Council, including expansion in both permanent and non-permanent categories. It's key to note that the time has come for the intergovernmental negotiation process to finally move forward on the grounds of text-based talks, dialogues, and interactions. My delegation, therefore, warmly welcomes the initiative and commitment of the President of the 68th Session of the General Assembly, His Excellency Ambassador John Ash, to assemble an advisory group to advise him and to provide inputs to initiate and to advance the process of text-based talks in the intergovernmental negotiations. While it's obvious that the reform of the Security Council can be considered as a work in progress, that does not mean that the intergovernmental negotiation should be a never-ending process. My delegation therefore strongly believes that the time has come to move from rhetoric to action. Finally, Mr. President, we also welcome the reappointment of Ambassador Sahira Tanin as chair of the intergovernmental negotiations and wish him success in steering this crucial process. I thank you.
Le représentant du Suriname pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de El Salvador.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Señor Presidente, permítanme expresar la satisfacción de mi delegación por su iniciativa para convocar esta reunión de la Asamblea General para examinar la cuestión de la representación equitativa y el aumento del número de miembros del Consejo de Seguridad y asuntos conexos, así como la cuestión relativa a la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Asimismo, acogemos con beneplácito la ratificación del embajador Zahir Tanin, representante permanente de Afganistán, como presidente de las negociaciones intergubernamentales sobre la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Estamos convencidos que tanto por sus dotes diplomáticas como por su larga experiencia y memoria histórica en el seguimiento de esta cuestión, lo ubican en una posición privilegiada para continuar conduciendo estas negociaciones, de por sí sumamente complejas, pero que sin lugar a dudas son cada día más urgentes en vista a la realidad internacional que supera con creces las demandas relativas a la búsqueda de un nuevo consenso internacional en materia de paz y seguridad. No menos importante en su decisión, señor presidente, es la de convocar a un grupo de asesores de embajadores con el objetivo que le aporten sugerencias e ideas para hacer avanzar esta importante negociación intergubernamental. Asimismo, como usted lo ha expresado, este grupo asesor no tiene en absoluto la potestad de generar posiciones o elaborar documentos de negociación intergubernamental, pero sí de sugerir cursos de acción para su consideración y posterior iniciativa, lo cual valoramos positivamente. Señor presidente, la posición de El Salvador en relación con la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad es ampliamente conocida y hemos tenido el honor de participar en la mayor parte de los debates sobre esta cuestión a lo largo del tiempo. No es mi intención, por tanto, detallar nuevamente la misma en esta reunión, aunque brevemente puedo resumirla en un apoyo decidido a la ampliación del número de miembros del Consejo de Seguridad en ambas categorías, permanentes y no permanentes, en la que nuestro país favorece las aspiraciones de Brasil, Alemania, Japón e India para formar parte del Consejo de Seguridad como miembros permanentes con dicho derecho a veto. Adicionalmente, coincidimos en la importancia de la representación regional en la que África puede contar con dos miembros permanentes en el Consejo de Seguridad, al igual que América Latina y el Caribe puedan tener también a un representante permanente en este Consejo. Coincidimos con la mayoría de las delegaciones en la necesidad de reformar y mejorar los métodos de trabajo del Consejo de Seguridad a fin de fomentar la transparencia y democratización del mismo, así como una interrelación creciente y la más sustantiva entre el Consejo de Seguridad, la Asamblea General y el Consejo Económico y Social, de conformidad a lo establecido en la Carta de las Naciones Unidas. Es importante destacar al respecto, como las cuestiones relacionadas con las misiones políticas especiales, en el contexto amplio de la ejecución del mandato del Consejo de Seguridad sobre el mantenimiento de la paz y seguridad internacional. Mediante la implementación de operaciones de mantenimiento de la paz, ha ido paulatinamente modificándose, de hecho, la interrelación entre los mandatos del Consejo de Seguridad y la Asamblea General, dadas las necesidades evidentes de la acción colectiva. Si bien esta cuestión comienza a discutirse por primera vez en el seno de la Comisión Política Especial de Descolonización, Cuarta Comisión, y la parte presupuestaria correspondiente en el marco de la Comisión de Asuntos Administrativos y Financieros, Quinta Comisión, el fondo de la cuestión, a nuestro juicio, tiene que ver con la necesidad de resolver conflictos en distintas partes del mundo que por su naturaleza deben enfocarse de una manera no convencional. Y es precisamente esta cuestión la que nos lleva a reflexionar sobre la necesidad urgente de cambiar el paradigma sobre el que estamos basando nuestras discusiones sobre la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Seguir por esta ruta, sin lugar a duda, nos lleva al mismo resultado, la falta de acuerdos entre el Estado miembro respecto a la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Señor presidente, para El Salvador, cambiar el paradigma significa revertir la lógica de apagar fuegos que actualmente determina la actuación del Consejo de Seguridad. Esto podría significar entonces actuar de manera preventiva. Claro, actuar de manera preventiva significa, entre otras cosas, actuar como sistema integrado, especialmente entre la Asamblea General, el Consejo Económico Social y todos sus órganos subsidiarios. Y eso también se encuentra consignado en la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad que estamos negociando, pues se refiere a una manera más democrática, transparente en su forma de actuar. Asimismo, significa una mayor coordinación y complementariedad de las acciones de otros órganos del sistema que tienen mandatos relacionados a la prevención. El papel de los P5, por tanto, consistiría en primera instancia en colocar todo su peso político y revisar los recursos que asigna a las Naciones Unidas para fomentar el desarrollo de los pueblos antes de intervenir en la toma de decisiones punitivas y el uso de la fuerza para resolver las diferencias. Este cambio de paradigma significa entonces pasar de la competencia por los recursos planetarios mediante el uso de la fuerza a una cooperación planetaria en la que los 7 billones de seres humanos podamos beneficiarnos de condiciones de subsistencia digna y la oportunidad de forjar nuestro propio destino en paz, respeto y plena colaboración. Creer que el futuro de la humanidad puede construirse sobre la base del presente paradigma no solo no es realista, sino además es desperdiciar recursos de toda índole en una tarea imposible. Señor Presidente, para concluir, permítame reiterar el compromiso de El Salvador por construir un nuevo paradigma en relaciones a la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Nuestra propia historia nos muestra que es posible. No es una tarea fácil y en muchas ocasiones existen retrocesos, pero es la única forma de transitar por el camino correcto en la construcción de una nueva sociedad inclusiva para todos y todas. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Gracias. La représentante de El Salvador pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant du Soudan.
سيد الرئيس في المستهل يود وفد السودان ان يعبر عن تقديره لجهود السفير جون آشي المتواصلة في جعل إصلاح مجلس الأمن من بين أولوياته خلال توريه رئاسة هذه الدورة ويمتد شكرنا للسفير زاهر تانين على مساعيه وجهوده الحثيثة بصفته رئيسا لمنبر المفاوضات الحكومية الخاصة بإصلاح مجلس الأمن كما نشكر لوفد الصين تقديمه التقرير السنوي لمجلس الأمن يوم أمس وينضم وفد السودان لبياني حركة عدم الانحياز والمجموعة الإفريقية كما أخذ وفد السودان علما بالقرار الخاص بتكوين مجموعة استشارية في هذا الخصوص وننوي إلى أن هذه المجموعة الاستشارية مثل ما ذكرتم لا تعبر عن أي من المجموعات المتفاوضة أو الدول وليس لها دور تفاوضي وإنما هي مجموعة استشارية إن مساعي إصلاح مجلس الأمن ظلت مستمرة قرابة العقدين من الزمان دون طائل في الوقت الذي تتطلع فيه غالبية أعضاء هذه الجمعية لإصلاحات هيكلية في مجلس الأمن وإنه لأمر محزن ومثير للإحباط أن لا يتم إحراز أي تقدم في مجالات الإصلاح الخمسة المشار إليها والمذكورة في قرار الجمعية العامة 62 على 557 والتي من بينها توسيع فئتي عضوية المجلس وإجراءات اتخاذ القرار وإلغاء حق النقد ليصبح المجلس أكثر شفافية ويتسم عمله بالديمقراطية وأن يكون أكثر تمثيلا لعضوية الأمم المتحدة البالغة 194 دولة السيد الرئيس كما تعلمون إن عدد دول القارة الإفريقية قد بلغ 54 دولة وأن تمثيلها في مجلس الأمن وهو تمثيل غير دائم لا يتناسب مع هذا العدد ولا مع الموضوعات ذات الشأن الإفريقي التي يبحثها المجلس والتي تمثل أكثر من 70% من القضايا المدرجة أمام المجلس وعليه لا بد من أن يؤخذ في الاعتبار في عملية إصلاح مجلس الأمن الموقف الإفريقي الوارد في إعلان سيرت وفي إجماع إزلويني الذي يطالب بمقعدين دائمين على الأقل مع كافة الصلاحيات والامتيازات التي يتمتع بها الأعضاء الدائمون الحاليون وخمس مقاعد غير دائمة. وعلى هذا الأساس يجب النظر إلى الموقف الإفريقي الذي يمثل تطلعات قارة بأكملها، كما أنه أي الموقف الإفريقي يتميز بالمرونة بشأن حق النقد، وهو الدعوة لإلغائه مستقبلاً والمطالبة به ما دام قائماً. كما يؤمن وفد السودان على الموقف العربي الذي تم الاتفاق عليه في قمة سرت 2010، وعلى موقف المجموعة الإسلامية الممثلة في منظمة التعاون الإسلامي. السيد الرئيس، تظل المفاوضات الحكومية حول إصلاح مجلس الأمن هي الآلية والمنبر الوحيد المعتمد للتفاوض حول قضايا إصلاح مجلس الأمن، ولا ينبغي أن يحل محلها أي منبر أو تجمع آخر، كما أن الإصلاح يجب أن يكون شاملاً وغير مغيد بتواريخ زمنية محددة أو متعجل لا يفي برغبة الأغلبية، وأن يحوس على دعم غالبية الدول الأعضاء في الأمم المتحدة. شكراً السيد الرئيس.
Le représentant du Soudan pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de l'Irak.
سيد الرئيس، أود في البداية أن أتقدم باسم وفد بلادي بالشكر لسعادتكم على الشرح الذي تقدمتم به فيما يخص اختيار فريقكم الاستشاري، ونؤكد هنا على الدور الاستشاري دون التدخل في سير المفاوضات الحكومية، كما نرحب بإعادة اختياركم لسعادة السفير زاهر تنين لرئاسة المفاوضات الحكومية الدولية المتعلقة بإصلاح مجلس الأمن، ونؤكد التزامنا وتعاوننا مع كافة الأطراف لإنجاح هذه المهمة التي نجتمع من أجلها لإصلاح مجلس الأمن. سيد الرئيس، يؤكد وفد بلادي على أهمية إصلاح مجلس الأمن وتوسعته بفئتيه الدائمة وغير الدائمة ليصبح أكثر اتساقاً وحداثة وفاعلية لإداء المهام المناط به بموجب الميثاق في حفظ الأمن والسلم الدوليين، على أن يكون التمثيل العربي ضمن هذه التوسعة لما تشكله الدول العربية من ثقل إقليمي وجغرافي وسكاني. سيد الرئيس، يعد العراق من الدول الأعضاء التي تصدر بحقها عدد ليس بالقليل من قرارات مجلس الأمن، الأمر الذي دعانا إلى أن نولي أهمية كبيرة لمفاوضات توسيع العضوية في مجلس الأمن من أجل التوصل إلى أرضية مشتركة يتم التوافق بشأنها فيما بين الدول الأعضاء، كما تأتي مطالبتنا في توسيع عضوية المجلس استجابة للزيادة الحاصلة في عدد الدول الأعضاء قياساً إلى ما كان العدد عليه عند تأسيسه، وليكون أكثر تمثيلاً وشفافية وتوازناً دون أن تؤثر هذه التوسعة على كفاءته وفعاليته. سيد الرئيس، على الرغم من أن السنوات الماضية قد شهدت زيادة في جلسات مجلس الأمن المفتوحة وتطوراً في مشاركة الدول غير الأعضاء في المشاورات عندما تتعرض هذه المشاورات لمصالح تلك الدول، إلا إننا نتطلع إلى أن تتضمن هذه الممارسات دعوة الدولة التي تتأثر مصالحها لحضور مشاورات المجلس المغلقة والمتعلقة بها، والحث على عقد المزيد من النشاطات الإعلامية والإحاطات للدول غير الأعضاء في المجلس، الأمر الذي سيترتب عليه تفعيل المادة 31 من الميثاق، وبما ينعكس بشكل إيجابي على مبدأي الانفتاح والشفافية في عمله. سيد الرئيس، وفيما يتعلق باستخدام حق النقد الفيتو، فإن وفد بلادي يطالب بتقييد استخدام هذا الحق إلى أقصى قدر ممكن، ويمكن ذلك من خلال اتخاذ بعض الإجراءات التي تضع بعض الصعوبات في استخدام هذا الحق وحصره بالفصل 7 من الميثاق، وأن لا يكون استخدامه في حالات الإبادة الجماعية وانتهاكات القانون الدولي الإنساني. سيد الرئيس، إن غالبية النزاعات التي تهدد السلم والأمن الدوليين ذات منشأ إقليمي، الأمر الذي يجعلنا أن نعتقد بأهمية تلعب هذه المنظمات الإقليمية دوراً في حلها وتسويتها بالطرق السلمية، وهذا ما يدفعنا للمطالبة في تفعيل الفصل الثامن من الميثاق، طالما أن ذلك لا يؤثر على التزامات المجلس ومسؤولياته بموجب الميثاق من جهة، وبما يعزز حقوق الإنسان وحمايته من جهة أخرى. وشكراً سيد الرئيس.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Irak pour sa déclaration et je donne la parole maintenant au représentant de la République islamique d'Iran.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Mr. President, at the outset, let me begin by expressing our appreciation to you for convening this meeting on such an important issue. I would also like to congratulate Ambassador Zahir Tanin, the distinguished permanent representative of Afghanistan, for his reappointment as the chair of the intergovernmental negotiation for the current session. While associating myself, my delegation, with the statement of the non-aligned movement delivered yesterday by the distinguished ambassador of Egypt, allow me to state few further explain our position on this issue, which is of great importance for my government. Mr. President, my delegation has on many occasions expressed its view on the different aspects of the reform of the Security Council. Therefore, I avoid here to go into details. Just to recall briefly, this is already an established fact that as a result of the evolution of the international situation and the constant rise of new opportunities, as well as new challenges in the international community, a drastic revamp of the Council is required. The foregone conclusion, based on experiences and the realities, is that the Security Council, with its current working methods and composition, which are by far outdated, could not succeed in its very important responsibility of maintaining international peace and security. Fortunately, this is a point upon which there is a large agreement among member states, and we almost all agree that the comprehensive reform of the Council, corresponding to the needs and requirements of the day, is long overdue. The size and composition of the Council, like its working methods, is one of the most important aspects of the Security Council reform. The current composition of the Security Council is neither regionally balanced nor geographically reflective of today's realities. Therefore, the Security Council is not representing the realities of the international community. Moreover, we believe that the Council's failure to change its composition and adequately improve its working methods and decision-making processes lies at root of the noticeable decline in the trust of international public opinion in this important organ, as a result of which image and credibility of the Council has suffered in the eyes of the general membership. In our view, focusing on turning the Security Council into an accountable international body responsive to the general membership and public opinion should be the overarching goal, directing all our efforts in this respect. This is the only way to redress the damage and enhance the credibility of the Council. To this end, there is pressing need to strive towards strengthening the representative and democratic foundation of the Council. This objective could be only attained if we continue to stick to a comprehensive reform of the Council encompassing all five interrelated clusters, namely categories of membership, the veto, size and working methods, and regional representation and the relationship between the Security Council and the General Assembly. Mr. President, given the importance of this process, I should appreciate the attention and leadership of Ambassador Ash, with regard to the reform of the Security Council. Since the beginning of his tenure, he has demonstrated his interest in moving forward the Council reform. In his letter of 22nd October 2013, he conveyed his intention to continue with the intergovernmental negotiations, IGN, during the 68th session of the Assembly, which is a welcome development. We believe that the efforts made in the past 6 years within the framework of the intergovernmental negotiations are worthy of praise in the long course of endeavors towards the reform of the Council. My delegation welcomes the continued efforts in this regard and is willing to participate in the process based on text and focused on achieving results. Let me reiterate that the Council reform should be firmly membership-driven and advance on a fully comprehensive and transparent basis. Therefore, we look to the IGN as the only forum for reaching an agreement on the issue at hand. Mr. President, on the report of the Security Council to the General Assembly, let me only refer to the chronic problem of the encroachment of the Security Council on the work of the other main organs of the United Nations, particularly this Assembly, the Economic and Social Council, and even some technical bodies such as the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, under the pretext of security. There is also an alarming trend in which the Security Council has been increasingly involved in lawmaking and norm-setting practices, unnecessary and quick resort to Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, and the threat or use of sanctions in cases where no actions have even been necessary, or other issues of concern for the general membership that have hurt the credibility and legitimacy of the Council's decisions. These disturbing trends that run counter to the letter and the spirit of the UN Charter should be checked and abandoned. I thank you, Mr. President.
Merci, le représentant de la République islamique d'Iran, pour sa déclaration. Et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de la Papouasie-Nouvelle-Guinée, qui parlera également au nom des petits États insulaires en développement du Pacifique.
I have the honor to speak on behalf of the following countries: Federated States of Micronesia, Fiji, Kiribati, the Republic of Marshall Islands, Nauru, Palau, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga, Tuvalu, Vanuatu, and my own country, Papua New Guinea. Mr. Vice President, we note that the President clearly expressed in his statement during his acceptance of the post of President, which was by acclamation and during the opening of the 68th UN General Assembly, that part of his agenda would also include addressing the ongoing issues pertaining to the reform of the principal organs of the UN, including the reform of the UN Security Council. Already, a number of measures are ongoing in the reform of the UN Security Council, but what is now needed is the re-energizing of the process. In this regard, we count on the President's leadership and reiterate our unequivocal support to him. We commend the appointment of Ambassador Zahid Tanin to again chair the intergovernmental negotiating process. And like many other delegations, and as in previous sessions, we again express to Ambassador Tanin our collective support and our gratitude for the sterling work which he has done. Indeed, we look forward to his continued leadership. Mr. Vice President, the reform of the UN Security Council remains an important issue on the UN's agenda. It is rooted in the 2005 World Outcome Document and further elaborated in UNGA Resolution 62557. If the intergovernmental negotiating process is to be effective, there has to be real and genuine negotiations on all the relevant issues, but more specifically on the five covered in 62557, namely: 1, categories of membership; 2, the veto; 3, regional representation; 4, enlargement and working methods; and 5, the relationship between the UNGA and the Security Council. Quite interestingly is the fact that the fifth item of 62557 The relationship between the GA and the Security Council is already operational, given that this debate has included the presentation and discussion of the Security Council's report presented by the distinguished permanent representative of China as president of the Council for this month. Equally, we can say that the Council's working methods, which is part of the fourth item of 62557, are already a part of our debates on Security Council reform. In this respect, I would also refer to the open debate in October in the Security Council under the presidency of Azerbaijan. Indeed, in both cases, we can all agree that more can be done to address gaps and shortcomings, and in fact, some have already been pointed out. Mr. Vice President, PCs believe that there has to be a reform in both categories of the Council. But any reform, and indeed all the components of 62557, must garner the widest possible support from the total UN membership. However, the negotiations must commence forthwith and be guided by 62557. All issues covered in 62557 should be in a document along with all the viable options noted. These options should then be subjected to a series of robust and genuine negotiations in the IGN process. We must avoid another series of discussions, as we have all become accustomed to. Mr. Vice President, in her recent statement to the UN Security Council during the open debate on working methods, our distinguished colleague, the Permanent Representative of Singapore, made the salient point, and I quote, "The reality is that small states are unlikely to obtain a permanent seat in whatever new configuration that might emerge from an overall reform of the Council in the future," close quotes. It is probably equally true to iterate that many other states may not even have the capacity to serve under any configuration of the Council. However, this should not preclude the possibility that some among the small states may indeed have the capacity to serve. Many of the PCs currently serve in UN peacekeeping operations around the world. While Fiji provides the largest numbers, some of our smallest members, example Palau, are also participants in UN peacekeeping operations. Thus, PCs continue to fulfill our respective charter obligations. We also believe that aspects of Item 3 of 62557 relating to regional representation provides an alternative option where small and smaller states might be better catered for in terms of membership on a rotation basis within UN regional groups. Currently, we see this issue emerging in various regional groups, but on an ad hoc basis. Above all else, the principal reason for the PCs remaining in this debate is that it is, like all UN reform issues, we have all committed to a fundamental governance issue. Mr. Vice President, we should be collectively proud that the reform process initiated as a result of the World Summit in 2005 has seen the establishment of the Peace Building Commission, UN Women, Human Rights Council, replacing the Commission on Human Rights. While we recognize that the UN Secretariat reform continues, much could be done, but the fact is they are proceeding. The outstanding issue is the reform of the UN Security Council. In conclusion, Mr. Vice President, while the current Security Council structure has served the global community reasonably well to date, the new geopolitical realities, along with the new and emerging security challenges in the 21st century, including the adverse impacts of climate change and its security implications, demand there be a broader participation by UN member states on the Council's membership and in its deliberations. We acknowledge the commitments previously stated, and again during this debate, by permanent members of the Security Council supporting the reform process. However, it's true that they or the advisory group of the PGA cannot reform the Council because it is the full UN membership which must effect that reform. Therein lies the challenge for all of us. I thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Je remercie le représentant de la Papouasie-Nouvelle-Guinée, pour sa déclaration au nom des petits États insulaires en développement du Pacifique. Je donne maintenant la parole au représentant de l'Arabie Saoudite.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'd like to extend my thanks and appreciation to the President of the 68th session of the UN General Assembly, His Excellency John Ash, on convening this joint debate on the report of the Security Council and the question of equitable representation and increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters. I would like to thank the President of the Security Council, Ambassador Liu Jie of China, for presenting the Council's annual report. We attach particular importance to today's debate. Member states have made great efforts to expedite the reform process. However, no tangible progress has yet been achieved. The world today is not the world of the mid-20th century. The power structure of the past is no longer consistent with the realities of the present. We request for a fair representation in the Council so that it does not merely reflect an old world order that does not exist anymore. It needs to be replaced by a rationale of equitable representation suitable for this 21st century world, so that the most important decisions concerning international peace and security, which inevitably affect all of us, can be adopted by appropriate and forceful majorities truly representative of the community of nations. The interest of the entire international community in the matter under consideration is obvious. Today's debate on the question of equitable representation and increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters presents an excellent opportunity to identify possible shortcomings in areas requiring improvements and adjustments. The Security Council has failed to address the situation in the Palestinian and Arab-occupied territories, an issue under consideration by the Council for more than six decades. This failure to safeguard international peace and security and achieve fair restitution to those who deserve it has encouraged Israel to persist in escalating its violation of international law, preaching of the Palestinian people's rights, and continuing its ongoing quest to change the situation on the ground. Furthermore, the Syrian crisis continues, with a regime bent on suppressing the will of its people by brutal force, killing and displacing millions of people under the watch and sight of a council paralyzed by the abuse of the veto system. The aspirations of the Syrian people, the will of the international community represented by the General Assembly and its adopted resolutions, the unanimous views of members of the regional organizations were ignored and not properly effectuated by the Security Council. All this reaffirms the danger manifested in the delay in taking appropriate, timely decisions to achieve peace in our region and throughout the world. This is why Saudi Arabia calls for profound and comprehensive reform of the United Nations Security Council, increasing its membership and abandoning the veto system or restricting its use in order to enable the Council to fulfill its obligations towards the preservation of peace and security in the world. We emphasize the need for comprehensive reform based on universality, equity, and regional balance, which addresses all substantive issues relating, among others, to the question of membership, regional representation, the Council's agenda and its working methods and decision-making process. We support an expanded membership of the Council that includes permanent seats for Arab states, African states, and other underrepresented groups. The issue of reform should be addressed in a comprehensive, transparent, and balanced manner. The process should reflect views of all member states. The current process that has lasted over several years is clearly not going anywhere. While we appreciate the efforts of Ambassador Tanin of Afghanistan in leading and coordinating the review process, we believe that new vigor needs to be injected in order to enable us to reach prompt and reasonable conclusions. Saudi Arabia believes that merging positions and proposals on the reform and expansion of the Council should be done after consulting with and the approval of the concerned state or groups of states. In this regard, we understand the African common position of rectifying the historical injustice regarding the continent's representation in the Council, as well as the Arab position requesting a permanent seat for the Arab group in any future expansion in the permanent membership category. There is a clear need for an enhanced and stronger presence of the Arab and Islamic world on the Security Council. The Council's annual report contains issues of high importance. We welcome the opportunity for member states to examine this report in depth before commenting on it. In this regard, we welcome the decision to have a separate meeting on this topic this year, thus giving member states more time to analyze the contents, thereby enhancing the quality of discussion. Saudi Arabia strongly believes that transparency and inclusiveness are fundamental to improving the Council's working methods. Advancement of those principles will enhance the Council's accountability to the general membership. Improving the working methods will also enhance the Council's efficiency. We recognize that the Council has taken important steps over the years, both to improve the effectiveness of its work and to open itself to non-member states. But in the interest of its overall efficiency and effectiveness, the Council should devote more time and effort to the core issues of international peace and security in accordance with its primary responsibility and refrain from encroaching on the mandates of other bodies. Saudi Arabia reiterates the appeal to the permanent members to refrain from exercising the veto right in situations of crimes against humanity, war crimes, genocide, or ethnic cleansing, since doing so prevents the Council from effectively defending the most fundamental values and principles of mankind. Saudi Arabia calls for the strengthening of partnership between the Council with other regional and sub-regional organizations, including the Gulf Cooperation Council, the League of Arab States, and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. We believe that more frequent interactions between the Council and regional organizations can play an important role in solving critical crises affecting their respective regions. Mr. Vice President, we respect the decision of the President of the General Assembly in forming an advisory group. We understand that the purpose of the group is to serve as an informal advisory body to the PGA on the reform process. However, we would like to express our concern that the advisory group does not have any representation from any member of the League of Arab States or the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which constitute 11 and 30% respectively of the total UN membership. We further want to ensure that the advisory group is not intended to be a replacement to the intergovernmental process in any respect. In conclusion, I urge all of us to take all possible initiatives to expedite the comprehensive reform process, which would hopefully result in resolving current crises and maintaining peace and security in the world. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Je remercie le représentant de l'Arabie Saoudite pour sa déclaration et je donne maintenant la parole au représentant du Chili.
Grazie, signor Presidente. Chile se adhiere a la intervención que hiciera el encargado de negocios de Suiza en representación del grupo ACT, del cual nuestro país es miembro. Asimismo, Chile desea reiterar su espíritu constructivo en este proceso intergubernamental, esperando que se pueda llegar a un pronto consenso en lo que se refiere a la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Señor Presidente, una mejora en los métodos de trabajo del Consejo de Seguridad, por una parte, así como una ampliación de su composición, no solo perfecciona la eficacia de ese órgano principal, sino que además asegura su legitimidad. En esa perspectiva, Chile está abierto a las distintas iniciativas tanto de Estados miembros como de autoridades de la Asamblea General, que busquen un impulso del proceso intergubernamental, que es el único canal que dicha Asamblea se ha dado para la reforma del Consejo de Seguridad. Es por ello que expresamos nuestra confianza en las recientes iniciativas adoptadas por el presidente de la Asamblea, embajador Ash. El grupo asesor puede siempre entregar ideas innovadoras que pudieran contribuir a generar las condiciones para dar un dinamismo político a este ejercicio. Mi delegación está preparada para hacer propuestas concretas para abordar este desafío que afecta la operatividad y eficacia integral del sistema. Muchas gracias, señor Presidente.
Je remercie le représentant du Chili pour sa déclaration. Nous avons entendu pour cette séance le dernier orateur qui voulait prendre la parole. Je voudrais consulter les États membres en ce qui concerne la convocation d'une réunion le 21 novembre afin de donner l'occasion aux délégations intéressées de poursuivre les délibérations sur le rapport du Conseil de sécurité. Puis-je considérer que l'Assemblée décide de convoquer une réunion plénière au titre du point 29 de l'ordre du jour, le jeudi 21 novembre 2013, qui permettrait aux États membres intéressés et qui souhaiteraient poursuivre les délibérations sur le rapport du secrétaire général? Je ne vois pas d'objection. Il en est ainsi décidé. L'Assemblée générale a ainsi achevé la présente phase de l'examen des points 29 et 133 de l'ordre du jour en attendant la séance que j'ai énumérée. Un représentant a demandé à exercer son droit de réponse et je voudrais rappeler aux représentants que la durée des déclarations au titre du droit de réponse est limitée à 10 minutes pour la première intervention et à 5 minutes pour la seconde intervention, et que les délégations doivent prendre la parole de leur place. Sur ce, je donne la parole au représentant du Maroc.
Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président. Ma délégation souhaite exercer son droit de réponse à la déclaration qui a été faite par l'Algérie ce matin. Le représentant de l'Algérie, dont le pays ne cesse de proclamer qu'il n'est pas parti au conflit, trouve le moyen d'évoquer la question du Sahara marocain, même lors Lors de l'examen du rapport du Conseil de sécurité et de la réforme de cet important organe principal des Nations Unies. Les honorables membres de l'Assemblée générale ont maintenant la preuve, si besoin en est, que l'Algérie est le principal protagoniste et même le mentor du conflit autour du Sahara marocain. Le représentant de l'Algérie, qui semble ne pas avoir lu le rapport du Conseil de sécurité, a dit que ce document ne reflète pas les débats des consultations informelles et a cité le cas du Sahara. Je voudrais l'édifier et le renvoyer aux pages 40 et 41 du rapport où il est dit, entre autres, reflétant les consultations du 30 octobre dernier, que le représentant spécial a déclaré que la situation du Sahara occidental au cours de la période considérée était restée stable et que la capacité de la MINURSO de rendre compte de la situation s'était améliorée. Il est dit également que les membres du Conseil de sécurité se sont dit satisfaits des efforts consentis par le Maroc pour améliorer les conditions de vie des populations sahraouies et ont exprimé leur soutien total à la MINURSO et à l'envoyé personnel. La majorité des membres du Conseil ont affirmé qu'une solution politique qui soit mutuellement acceptable était le seul moyen d'obtenir un règlement durable du conflit. Toutes les délégations ont pris note des réformes menées par le Maroc dans le domaine des droits de l'homme, notamment de la création du Conseil national des droits de l'homme et en particulier ses commissions de Laayoune et Dakhla et sa coopération avec les titulaires de mandats relevant des procédures spéciales du Conseil des droits de l'homme. En outre, on relève une contre-vérité dans la déclaration de l'Algérie en invoquant un projet de résolution du Conseil de sécurité qui aurait demandé l'élargissement du mandat de la MINURSO. Ceci n'existe que dans l'imaginaire de l'Algérie. Aucun projet présenté aux membres du Conseil de sécurité n'a fait mention de cet élargissement. Par ailleurs, le représentant de l'Algérie a parlé d'une interdiction du représentant du Polisario de parler au stakeout. Je voudrais l'informer que cette tribune est réservée aux États membres des Nations Unies. Imaginez qu'elle soit ouverte à n'importe qui. Dans quelle situation nous serions? Les Nations Unies ont leurs règles et pratiques. Seulement, il n'est pas donné à tout le monde d'en respecter la discipline. La proposition algérienne n'est ni fondée ni sensée. Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président.
Je remercie le représentant du Maroc pour sa déclaration. Si aucun autre représentant ne demande à prendre la parole, je conclus que nous avons terminé les questions pour cet après-midi. La séance est par conséquent levée.